Hello and welcome to the Mix Era Rap Podcast. I'm your host, DJ B Wise. This is a podcast where we talk about hip hop from boom bap to trap. We're back at it again, people. We're coming at you tonight with my main man, Kev. You know how he does it. He is our underground historian, underground legend. Kev, tell him how you feel.
Very good today. Just waiting, you know, to get this show going so we can get the people what they want.
All right, that's what's up, bro. I appreciate it. So we're going to jump into it with our first topic, and that is stream or no stream of J. Cole's project, Might Delete Later. I'm going to let the resident hater start this one out. Kev, your thoughts on J. Cole's new project?
I can't be a hater today, you know. Me and one of our former co-hosts, DJ Reaper, we were kind of going back and forth the other day, and he was shocked by my rating. And I still stand by my rating, and I told him right now I would go 4.5 out of 5. I give myself a week. It might change, but, you know, right now it's a strong 4.5 out of 5. If anybody wants to tell me I'm buying into the hype, I bought it. I'm broke. I cashed out on it. I'm all sold out on the hype. This is the best thing in rap right now. I think the hype is real. Just like when we did the Kendrick verse, I said that, you know, if you do a verse, an album has to follow. Something has to follow. Kendrick hasn't done nothing yet, but he gave J. Cole time to answer. So, you know, next move, Kendrick, or because right now, it's J. Cole didn't one up you, he 10 upped you. You know what I mean? It's just he's 10 steps ahead of you right now, so you got to catch up. So I'm all in.
That's what's up. Appreciate that, Kev. I wanted to speak on just one thing from you, because I'm the only one I'm on the fence about is Ready 24 with Cameron. You know, right. I thought Cameron did a decent job. I just don't know if he fit that space. That's all. What are your thoughts on that particular track?
I want to say they did something before, but I really can't remember off the top of my head. I don't have a problem with it. I actually think, you know, Cameron could be known as a person who raps off beat. But I think he was ready, you know, I think he flowed with the beat on this one. I don't have a problem with what he said or what he was talking about. I actually think it was a pleasant surprise that they were actually, you know, he did something with him on this and you know, and Cole released it. So I'm surprised by all the features, but, you know, but I thought this was good, though. I thought this was good.
All right. I appreciate that as well. For me, again, he was off beat a little bit and it kept frustrating me. Cause Jay blew it up. Let me just say that. He blew up the spot on that track. And then when Cam came in, the beat was right, but he was just off of it. So that's all.
Not the whole, you know, I mean, like parts, just certain parts. Yeah. But overall he was on beat for majority of his verse. And I understand what you're saying, because that is something that I normally pay attention to, because like I said, Cameron does seem off at times, but I think, you know, most of his verse, he was there. So yeah, like I said, I ain't had a problem with it at all.
All right. Next, I'd like to talk about my favorite track on the album. And that was Pie featuring Ab Soul and, Daylight. Man, that track was crazy. I was like, dog, this is some of the, he hit his stride on this one, man. I mean, I think Cole is that particular track left me speechless. His wordplay, his double entendres, he rode the beat well. One thing we always have said about Cole, he can have some trash beats. I thought that this, he minimized it as much as he could on this particular project. I think he did minimize it, you know. So I'm going to give him that he minimized it. And again, Pi, man, you know, it was a strong piece of work. I can't say it enough. Thank him for this. This is what makes me able to keep doing this. If it wasn't for, if it wasn't for, you know, our top three, even though they want to beef with each other, I would probably be out of the game as far as hip hop today. But these guys keep me going. What was your favorite track, Kev, from the album?
Yeah, Pi, I gotta agree with that. That first verse with Daylight and Ab Soul just kind of go back and forth with each other. It's, you know, it was funny because I just had a conversation with my wife about, you know, albums that you listen to that you really enjoy. What, you know, what artists ever release studio sessions? You know what I mean? And I would love to see the studio session of some of the songs on this album, and Pi is one of them. It is, you know, it's, I don't know. It's just like that first verse was so good. It was just like, you know, who came up with the concept behind it? How did they write it? It was that good back and forth energy. And it was just like so on time, you know, when one person ended, then the other person just like flowed right into it. Yeah, I think that's the best song on the album. Nothing against Cole because it is a collaboration, but you had two. Daylight is an underrated lyricist. If anybody's out there familiar with battle rap, then they probably know Daylight and some of what he, you know, what is he known for. And Ab Soul, I think Kendrick and to a certain extent Schoolboy Q kind of overshadow Ab Soul because of that black hippie thing that they're in. So it's, you know, you had two good lyricists that could match J. Cole's power. And, you know, and it was a verse J. Cole had on the album where he said, no one killed him on a feature. This might be the first one that, you know, it's a debatable about who had the best verse. You know, did somebody had a better verse, or did, you know, it might come up that these two guys, two people had to have a better verse than Cole, but I don't know. It's tough to say who verse was better on this one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Kev, man. I respect the art of one up in each other on the track. Why wouldn't right. you? You know, that right. that's what you're supposed to do. So right. I was just encouraged by this. I was elated by this. This was just, it was everything, man. I think you said it best last, is that he's, you know, after this last feature he did, he's in the pocket right now. I think in the next 2 to 3 years, he's going to get his biggest number one hits. He's going to start getting those accolades that has escaped him over these last few years with, you know, with Drake and with Kendrick, you know, some of those accolades that they've gotten. Now it's just due time for J. Cole. And hopefully this competition will keep him in the mix longer, you know. I just, you know, I'm just super excited. But now we got to jump into the elephant in the room. And we know what the elephant in the room is the diss. So we're getting ready to switch over to our Talking Hip Hop. And Talking Hip Hop starts off with 7 Minute Drill. And I'm just going to say, I think that what he did was artful. It was artistry. Because he did it in a way that, because most of the diss that Kendrick did wasn't about Cole. Most of it was about Drake. So I thought how he presented this, right, made it in a way where it was palatable for Kendrick fans or Kendrick stans to still say, you know what, this is just a good piece of work. I'm not going to hate on him just because he dissed Kendrick. He did it in a way that was very, very artful. And but he stuck it out there. I thought the first half of the project or that particular track was brilliant. I think the only thing I question on that, why it's not my favorite one, I question on the second half of the track when he switched to beat, how fierce. Now, his double entendres in that second part were on point, but I just didn't know how fierce. It seemed like he kind of slacked up in that second half where he was going at your neck in the first half. He didn't seem like he was going at your neck in the second half. So I'm gonna slide it over to Kev and see what his thoughts are on that. Just for me, I thought the second half could have been a little better. Kev?
I liked it, but I think that I don't think that this is the only diss per se. I think the majority of the songs on this could be considered as a diss. It was full of subliminals. It was even like the first two songs had a bunch of subliminals to me in it. So I feel like, you know, he was kind of setting you up for that 7-minute drill. Honestly, I wish I wouldn't have saw none of the reviews or any posts that people put up about it, because I almost wanted to go there to the last song first, but I was listening for diss or subliminals throughout, and that's why, you know, I had to listen to it 3 times to get to that point that I could just listen to it front to back, just anticipate music and not listening for him to say something. So, you know, that first listen, I heard a bunch of subliminals, and I don't feel like, you know, I think you could pick damn near any, you know, most of the songs on here had some sort of subliminal, I guess, directed towards, you know, Kendrick mainly, but maybe a few others, because normally, you know, with J. Cole, this is his thing, you know, to build up hype towards what album he's about to come out with. He'll drop a so-called diss record or diss song towards someone. You know, sometimes we know who he's talking about or guess who he's talking about, and other times we don't know. Like the the one he did a few years back where he had the video, he's on the back of the bus rapping. That was towards one of the little somebodies. I don't know. I don't even think that guy even rap anymore. And, you know, but Kendrick, J. Cole does this. Kendrick does this too. But, you know, Cole does it. But the difference between Cole and Kendrick is I think that J. Cole is more active and J. Cole is more ready to go. So Kendrick doing this, it means, it, like I said, it don't mean nothing if it don't follow up with something with five or more songs on it, which he hasn't done yet. You know, Cole's response was, boom, I'm going to give you my reply back to you, plus I'm going to give you a whole bunch of other songs, and you might mess around, catch him. I mean, he just had his, what you call him this weekend? His Dream Fest or whatever he has this weekend. Yep. So, you know, he's going to pop back up on tour with Drake, but then, you know, everything, his little festival he has every year, that just keeps his buzz going. So it's, you know, he's getting close to, J. Cole right now is on a level, he's on Drake's level. Like, if you know, Drake's competition right now is J. Cole and Nicki Minaj. That's it. No one else is a Drake challenger. Not to say I think that Drake is the best rapper out there, but I mean, best lyricist. Now we can discuss, you know, rapping or MCing, which is a totally different thing. But you know, Drake should be considered number one as far as radio hits, sellout shows, and, you know, charting on the Billboard. I think I saw something the other day that said Scorpion was still on the Billboard charts. And it's been like, what, 4 or 5 years? It's still in the top 200 since the album came out. So Drake is obviously number one. But yeah, Nicki Minaj and J. Cole are like his only competition. Nothing against Kendrick, but Kendrick is below them. Kendrick is below those three. But I think, you know, it was effective. It was very effective. And if anybody on that song felt like he said, you know, something towards them, you know, that he didn't save the whole song for Kendrick, I think you're probably right.
I'm with you on that one. Hey, man, you know, what can I say? I think that we're in a space where somebody's going to have to step up and do more. If you're going to call yourself, you know, the man, then you got to put out more work. I'm saying the same thing for Rhapsody as well. She can't be out here talking about how slick she is with it and then not putting out work. So I'm, you know, my call is for all of these amazing rappers, right, to put in work, to put out some work. Let's put out some work. Let's get it in. You know, I'm putting it out because I think if you put out more work, this is going to make what Drake puts out next even better. Might Delete It Later isn't even the off season. So imagine what's going to happen after that, because he still might drop that later this year. I would love it if he did, because, you know, he does need to put out more projects in order to maintain.
Like I said, when I first came on the show, I said me and Reaper, we was talking, and it made me go back. It made me look at J. Cole's catalog, where, I mean, J. Cole's been consistent. I mean, if you take J. Cole as a solo artist and the Dreamville project, I mean, for at least, I want to say maybe within the past 10 years, he's had something every year. Either it was a J. Cole solo or Dreamville collaboration album. So for at least 10 years strong, you take just those two on the Dreamville label, and then you throw in random collaborations with other artists. Like, he's been consistent. So I don't think his consistency is a problem. For me, the problem is the hype or the build up to the album. So it's like you have Thank Me Later, and it's a very aggressive album. I mean, radio hits, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But radio's dying, so Spotify's the thing. I mean, outside of 7-Minute Drill, are you going to have another, you know, streamable song on here? You know what I'm saying? So many people are rushing towards that 7-Minute Drill. They're going to run the numbers up on that, though. But like you said, the Cameron song, is that going to hit? Is that going to even come within, you know, 10 million listens of 7-Minute Drill? Probably not. Even Pi or the Ari Lennox song, or what's the guy? Bass, which I love that song too. And I think that could be a good radio hit, but I don't think, you know, none of the other songs are going to come close to the 7-Minute Drill as far as what's streamed out there. So you have that, right? But then when you drop your album is going to be totally different, a totally different zone from this album here. And, you know, I think that it's this weird thing where, you know, in the 90s when mixtapes started to become big, you know, mixtapes was used as a promotion for your album. And, you know, some artists, it just felt like the mixtape was leftover songs from the album. You know what I mean? and it like their mixtape and their album kind of like flow together, you know? So it's like the first song on your album could have came after the last song on your mixtape in a lot of cases from the 90s. So, and I think that's what I'd be looking for when J. Cole does this, when he drops these, you know, these 3-4 songs, or he drops an EP or a mixtape before his album. I'm expecting the same kind of zone. Yeah. But then it's like, it's totally different. Then it'd be like this totally different vibe. Like on his album, he don't have no diss tracks. he got subtle subliminals or in the case of KOD, where it was just a story. And I ain't gonna go there. I think the concept behind KOD was great, but I think it was fault. I don't think he executed it well. But I also think that he wanted to tell a story on album, and it hit a little bit. It didn't hit as big as Good Kid, Mad City. It's like, you know, KOD is like a Big Mac, and Good Kid, Mad City is filet mignon Kobe beef. You know what I'm saying? If you know food. But I mean, you know, the point I want to bring up is what you mentioned earlier, is that you said the reception that Cole is going to get for this. Yeah. Why do you feel that way?
He deserves this because he's done crazy great features over the last year and a half. And to have the opportunity to get the accolades that, you know, like, you know, I would say that J. Cole is the Nas of right now. Drake is the Jay-Z. He's getting all the hits. Everybody likes the hits. He's selling product. He's winning in every way. J. Cole is sticking to his mainstream formula, and he's trying to just keep trucking along. He's done some experimental stuff that didn't work out, just like Kev said about with the KOD. He's done something like the Project Now that gives you hope and inspiration. The features led up to this. And now with the layup that Kendrick gave him makes it even more impressive. That's why I think people are going to run to him, because he's going to, I just feel like that off season is coming this year, maybe fourth quarter this year, but I feel like it's coming. Whereas, like you said last week, Kendrick may not drop anything this year. He may do maybe one or two other features, but he may not drop this year. If he does, it's all the better for hip hop. But in general, I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to drop. And that's why I think the accolades are going to just skyrocket for Cole, because he's consistent. He's getting better, and he's on Dreamville stuff showing love. He's on other people's projects being featured. How you gonna beat that? The pace, that takes me back to when Lil Wayne was doing his pace, when he was featured on everybody's stuff. He was killing those features, and then he was putting out stuff that was quality. And that's when everybody started considering him one of the greatest rappers alive. So with that, you know, you got to give Cole his accolades. That's just my thoughts. I think if you're objective to how this should work out, he deserves every accolade that we're willing to give him, because he's put in the work.
I mean, but outside of the BET Awards, what other recognition is he going to receive, though?
I think that as of right now, he's leading in next year's Grammys. This project puts him in the front runner for next year's Grammys.
I don't think so. I think outside of BET, he would get a lot of blogger awards. He's not gonna get any Billboard, no American Music Award. The off season has to be a phenomenal album. Off season will get nominated for award, maybe if it's great, but I don't think he'll get nominated for a Grammy.
And after seeing, again, it depends on what happens with Offseason. But after seeing what happened with Killer Mike, it seems to me the Grammys are looking for artists to put it all out there. And I'm not saying he gave us everything in this project, but he sequenced it well. He did his, you know, I would say he gave his best effort in the production of it. He used other producers. I mean, they're still out of his camp, but he did work with other producers, so that helps. I know he's definitely not going to get American Music Award or Billboard Award, but that Grammy, man, I don't know. I think that Grammy could, if he's not winning it, he's definitely getting nominated for it.
Killer Mike told you why he won the Grammy. He said it was the 50th anniversary of hip hop.
I know, but I think that Killer Mike also gave you the format. If you want your project to win, you got to go out there and campaign, just like it's you're running for public office. You got to go places.
I don't think no one else did the shows and set, all the radio tours and certain media obligations. Travis Scott definitely didn't do it. And I don't even think he does interviews anyway. Plus, I think so many people are still hung up on that that music festival and blaming him when he really didn't have a lot to do with it, in my opinion. But who else was nominated? Killer Mike. Drake pulled his name out. I think Drake would have won if he'd have stayed in it. I think Drake pulled out this year, right? Or was that last year?
It was last year that he pulled out. He stayed right in this year, but I don't think he campaigned.
It wasn't that. I think it was because him pulling out last year. That's why.
Oh, so they
Drake's. I think it was Drake's beef with the Grammys. Travis Scott not doing a lot of interviews. And then the other two, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know the other two, but like you said,
Metro Boomin project and the other one's escaping me. I'm with you though.
Metro Boomin does limited press anyway. I don't even think he does the Breakfast Club.
There you go.
Killer Mike does the Breakfast Club often. You rarely, like I said, Travis Scott doesn't do a lot of media. So you kind of hamper yourself. You hamper yourself with stuff like that. And I mean, it's a we're in this age where people don't want to they're selective about some of the stuff they do. And it's like, so many people want they want that old school media. They want they want to feel like they're important. They want to feel like they're on your level as that celebrity. So if you don't do a lot of media, even in 2024, it still hurts you, even though we have this different mind state about, who we are or how we want to be perceived. But media is so important. So, don't go to Vlad's show. Yeah, do the Breakfast Club. Do Noriega's Drink Champs. Because, out of all those shows, Drink Champs is probably the safest major platform you can go to. If you out there, you got to do something, go to Drink Champs. Go to Drink Champs. Joe Budden is you don't know what you're going to get. DJ Vlad is like the damn police sometimes. So if you got skeletons in your closet, you damn sure don't want to go there. Breakfast Club is getting better. I mean, yeah. Just overall, Charlamagne is not up to his antics, but they'll ask some controversial questions because they still want to get their numbers up. So But you still gotta do media. Yeah, and I'm sitting here, I'm looking at it now. It was Nas, it was Drake and 21, Killer Mike, Metro Boomin, and Travis Scott. I mean, Killer. I mean, I think you're right. I think the media thing was something to do with it. Because none of those artists really do a lot of media. It's mainly, you know, script. They don't do a lot of videos, if anything. It's, you know, it's some a writer for a blog or magazine is writing it out. And in a lot of those cases, you as the artist have so much say-so in what can go in or what should be taken out that it'll make you look good. But, you know, everybody don't want to see perfect people. You know, they, you know, so many people want to know that you, or no matter on what level you are, you make mistakes just like they do. So, yeah, Killer Mike being so open and honest and going to all these different platforms, I think that did, I mean, it helped. But I still think that the point he made about the significance of him winning in Hip Hop 50, I think that had more something to do with it than him campaigning. I went on a whole round thing.
I'm with you on that, Kev. Appreciate you, man. All right. So, you know, we're going to slide into another topic for our Talking Hip Hop. And, you know, Kev brought to the table a very interesting question. Should rappers have an age limit? I'm going to start this one off just because I'm the elder statesman and just say that what you've seen Nas do over his last six projects is proof that age doesn't have a problem. What you just saw from the Big Daddy Kane freestyle shows that there's no reason why age should be a problem. We're the only genre of music where age is an issue. Country still lets Dolly Parton, not lets, but country music, Dolly Parton still able to put out music. Billy Joel, Aerosmith, they're still able to put out music whenever they want to. Elton John, even though he's fully retired now, has put out music in his 70s. So, you know, I don't see why we should be held to that. Cher is still out here doing her thing as well. And the better question for me, and I don't want to delve heavy into it, is should there be a separation of hip hop and rap? That to me seems more of a objective question than age, because, you know, 2 Chainz was an older rapper when he started. Jay was an older rapper when he started. So to me, age is just not a factor. I know that the young people now want to make people feel old if you're not in your 20s, but everybody's got to eat. And if people are going to, you know, you want people to listen to your music so you can eat, I'm saying do the same for the people who are a little bit older than you. Kev, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can agree with everything you just said. But the last point you made about the youth of today, you know, they kind of lowered the standard of what's considered old. And so I have, you know, younger kids, you know, all early 20s or, you know, teenager. And, you know, sometimes their perspective is, you know, someone in their 30s is an older crowd. And it's kind of like, you know, when I was, you know, your age, I didn't think someone 32 or 33, even though, you know, that 10-year gap was that much older than me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is a different mentality today. And I think that's, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I did bring it up, because, you know, we had that discussion on Killer Mike versus Travis Scott at this year's Grammys. We had a 30-year-old, just not, you know, within the past month or so.
Yeah.
You know, and we talked about that. Like, he was, you know, he had so much passion for Travis Scott. And you know, it wasn't such a bad thing, you know, but it was just, I think for us, you know, us over 40s, we were just trying to figure out, why are you so passionate about this album? I'm like, okay, it's not a bad album, but like, you're like, it resonates with you. You know what I mean? And I think that's why the debate did get so heated, because it was a thing of his passion versus us trying to understand. And I think that's where, you know, the gap is at the moment, because, you know, even though Killer Mike won this Grammy, and maybe outside of the week or maybe two after that, it kind of died down. Now, granted, you know, news today doesn't stay around that long, but when it's younger Grammy winners, it seemed like it gets a little bit more, they have some more legs with their win, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if the awards is in February, we're still talking about it in May, you know what I mean? And we barely, you know, I don't even, it wasn't that much time in February where Killer Mike winning was a thing. Like I said, I think it was maybe, maybe that week, you know, that week he won, and maybe the week after, you know what I mean? And it was just like, that was it. You know, other artists do get a little more attention. I mean, you know, we could say that's a media thing too, whereas we just said, just the point we just made about certain artists going to speak to the media. And yes, it does now it does seem like a lot of older artists don't want to speak to the media that much. Like, you know, Nas, he ain't running to no Breakfast Club or nothing like that, because he's at that point of his celebrity where he don't have to promote nothing. But, you know, it is some. But, you know, you bring up 2 Chainz. That was an interesting artist to bring up, because 2 Chainz is an older artist. I think his oldest son could be anywhere from, what, between the age of 15 and 17, I believe. So, you know, he almost has a college student, right? Or he at least has a high schooler. But he's over the age of 40. But he still makes today's music, though. You know what I mean? Like, as far as his content, it doesn't sound old man-esque. So, you know, to kind of look at an older artist and be like, oh, you're old, you're whack, I'm not going to listen to your stuff. That's what you'll find a lot of days. But you got an artist like 2 Chainz, who 2 Chainz and Nas came, I mean, maybe what, 5 years apart, maybe in age? And 2 Chainz still makes songs for today that are hits today. So, you know, really to say that, you know, if you're an older artist, that you can't make today's music, that's not true at all. Just like B.Y. said, you know, you have a 2 Chainz that's in tune and making this great music. Kanye West is what? If he's not 45, he's close to it. He just had a number one album. You know what I mean? He changed the whole genre. So to kind of dismiss older, huh?
I said exactly.
Yeah, to kind of dismiss older artists is a crazy point to have. And, you know, a lot of older people, you know, 45 and above, we'll kind of look at that as being somewhat disrespectful, because you know they're gonna want to be heard, but at the same time they're gonna say give it a chance. Just like, you know, some of the young folks ask us to give it their music a chance, we're gonna say give ours a chance also, right? And yeah, it sucks though. It really sucks that we're still having these discussions within rap music. You know, when you hit a certain age, or your content kind of changes up to maybe go towards another audience, if they're just dismissed. And it shouldn't be that way. It should be that way. You know, it's just, if it's rap, it's rap across the board. You know, if you like a certain type of rap, then listen to that. But at some point, you're going to come back to it. You know, you're going to reach that point of where you want to listen to a Nas or a Killer Mike or anything like that. So if you're not there yet, trust me, you'll be there.
That's what's up, Kev. Man, I appreciate it. Again, it's a great question, but, you know, we need the younger people to think, you know, you're not going to be young forever. So,
right.
Do you want that bag? Do you want to stop getting your bag because you're 30? nobody wants to stop getting a bag because they're 30. You got a long life ahead of you. So
yeah.
We are going to give our our last thoughts on the overall situation with the diss, because it's still fresh. And I just don't, I'm going to say mine and then we'll let Kev anchor this thing out of here. I just want to say again, as we get out of here, that it was nice, but it wasn't something that, let's keep it on wax. I'm going to leave it at that. Kev, your last thoughts on the so-called diss or the response of J. Cole to Kendrick Lamar.
It was a good reply. I think it did exactly what he intended to do. He generated the attention for it. It was good enough that it deserves a response. When that comes, who knows? But Jake, like I said earlier, J. Cole, he 10-upped him. You know what I mean? He just 10-upped him. I think he's so far ahead. He gave us this mixtape or whatever, and then he told you the album's coming. So it's kind of like 1-2, and you know, it's like a tidal wave, man. I think it's on point. It served its purpose. It's not a bad song. I think the next time someone does a best of diss, I think for the modern era, this could go up there as potentially being a top 10. Potentially. But I'm still listening to it now a few days later, so I must like it in some way.
I'm with you. I did listen to Future again, but definitely am rocking the Cole most of the time. Yeah. So with that, party people, we're going to get out of here. Hope that you, I just like to say, we're trying our best here. You know, you see we're making improvements. We're trying to give you a better product. We're trying to curate we're trying to help parents curate their sound. Please check us out on our social media places. As you can see, we're Mix Era Rap on all platforms. And we're on TikTok, we're on Instagram, we're on X, Twitter, and we should be on Facebook within a little bit. We know that particular platform is falling out of favor, but we will be on there as well. So again, man, we just need to keep your support, and we will keep doing this, man. Keep trying to give you a good product, and hope that you like it. And with that, we out of here. Peace.